We're live.
Okay. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. I know that this is a different arrangement, and I just wanted to let everybody know, again, my name is Boyne Smotherson, Third Ward City Councilman, but Mayor Pro Tem, serving in the absence of our mayor. So we're going to start this meeting on May 9th, 2022 at 6:30. And the first thing on the agenda is that we're going to have a swearing in of Councilmember Stacy Clay.
I, Stacy Clay,
do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and
am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of the University of City.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and the ordinances of University City.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I'm about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you.
Okay, and while Stacy is taking care of the official signature and Ms. Reese gets settled in, I want to go ahead and recognize some guests to the meeting tonight. And first of all, I want to recognize my family that's here, and that is my mother and, my wife, and my mother, Geraldine Smotherson, and my sister, Pamela Smotherson. And I just wanted to introduce them, but also in this meeting is award-winning Hall of Fame photojournalist Wiley Price from the St. Louis American. So, Ms. Larice, could you call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson.
Here. Okay. Are there any changes to the agenda? Are there any changes at all? If there be no changes, can I get a motion to approve the agenda? Councilmember Hales is the, and who's the second? Councilmember McMahon. Thank you. And all those in favor of the agenda, please say aye. Nays? The agenda is approved. We have no proclamations, and we have approval of the minutes, April 25th, 2022, regular session minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes? Councilmember Klein, and Cusick is our second. May I have a motion to approve? All those in favor of the minutes from April 25th, 2022, all in favor, say aye. Nays, that motion has passed. We've now moved to appointments to boards and commission. Councilmember McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. I would like to nominate Christopher Flood for appointment to the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force.
And may I get a second? Councilmember Hales. All those in favor of Christopher Flood to the Housing Third Ward Revitalization, may I get the all those in favor? Please say aye. The ayes have it. Councilmember Klein.
I would like to nominate Ariel Gardner to the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force.
May I get a second? Councilmember Cusick, all those in favor of this appointment, please say aye.
Aye.
Nays, no nays. That has been approved. Councilmember Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. I would like to nominate Christina Dancy to the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force.
May I get a second? Councilmember Hales? All those in favor of this appointment, may I have ayes? Aye. And the nays? Okay. Patricia McQueen is nominated for appointment to the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force. All those, may I get a second on that motion? Councilmember Cusick, all those in favor, please say aye. Nays? No. And in place of the mayor, I'll go ahead and read the next three, if that's okay. Byron Price is nominated for appointment to the chair of the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force. May I get a second? Councilmember Klein, all those in favor of that appointment, please say aye. The nays, no nays. And next we'll have Mayella Zambrano, did I say that correctly? Yes, is nominated to appointment to the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force. May I get a second on that appointment? Councilmember Cusick, all those in favor of this appointment, say aye. And the ayes have it. Linda People Jones is nominated to the appointment to the Housing and Third Ward Revitalization Task Force. May I get a second on that appointment? And that would be Councilmember Clay. All those in favor of this appointment, please say aye. Thank you, and the ayes have it. We have no swearing in the boards and commission. We have citizen participation is next. And again, just a reminder to citizens, Ms. Reese, do we have any? We do, okay. Just a reminder, please, you have 5 minutes when your name is called, and please, once you get to the mic, please hit the button for the mic to come on, and please say your name and address before you speak. Thank you, sir. All right, for our first speaker, we have Steve Glickert, 775550 Blackberry.
Thank you very much. Steve Glickert, 7750 Blackberry. I'm back, Mr. Rose, and I'm gonna keep coming back. And the focus and the heat are gonna be directed at you. I thoroughly believe that you failed our community. You possess the tools and the resources that have been in place for decades, and you refuse to apply them. You have allowed or are allowing 100, 150, 200 properties where owners or occupants defecate on our city every second of every day. And your actions have been pitiful. On a duty or an obligation that should be carried out daily. I really have no other recourse but to continually come up here and publicly criticize you for the pathetic performance on the zoning enforcement. I can't trust your emails. Every one of those seems to be a con job, a smokescreen, a delay, and a large load of, we'll call it BS. I'm forced to come up here. Otherwise, I'm stuck following the ridiculous process that Mr. McMahon spelled out a couple of years back that obviously doesn't work. Just call the hotline. It works. Then you contradict that in the same sentence and say, if it doesn't work, call the community development department. If that doesn't work, call one of us. If that doesn't work, call the city manager. If that doesn't work, by all means, come up here and tell us about it, and we'll provide you with the necessary service. Do you recall that, Mr. McMahon? Well, I've tried all of that. And I'm here for about the 12th time. The violations continue to sit there, and they've expanded because of the inability of Mr. Rose to deliver results. Now, I'm sure during the council comments tonight Some of you, or one of you, will try to spin this, twist it, or cook it into some other load of hogwash, telling everyone here that things are peachy. Well, before you stick your neck out with your comment, take a drive over and see, witness it for yourself, what the city manager has accomplished. It's absolutely disgraceful. I'm sure that many of you have never taken the time to tour this particular area. I'm also confident that Mr. Rose and the mayor have never ventured north of Owl Street Road. Maybe one of you could provide Mr. Crow and Mr. Rose with directions, or even better, give them a ride. Preferably, you'll pick them up and drop them off at another community. I'm sure there's a community out there that wants to be trashed, polluted, and obliterated, just like what they've accomplished in the northeast area of our city. They've obviously shown exceptional talent at that. So, Mr. Rose, when you're finished making videos with your department heads, and now that you've completed spending exorbitant amounts of money with a marketing firm to develop a fancy and colorful brochure, trying to take more money out of our pocket to live here, maybe, just maybe, you could squeeze in performing your daily responsibility of providing the residents in that area the protection of zoning enforcement that you were sworn to uphold. I know this is a difficult task for you because you can't recognize a blatant violation that occurred on your own street. This is not Hooterville or Hoosier Town. You need to get to work. Now, I'm limited on time here, but I'll be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to go over and review in order all the ridiculous and worthless excuses that you provided me over the last 4 years. Because I believe it's necessary for the citizens of University City to be informed of how you operate and how you skirt around your responsibilities. And before I forget, I'd like to submit into the minutes the segment of our code that Mr. Rose avoids using. I would like to ask again, for the eighth time, that you give me an explanation on why you're not utilizing this code. Still no explanation after 4 years. So the bottom line, and all the evidence proves it, Mr. Rose avoids doing his daily responsibilities, avoids responding to the question 7 times, delivers nothing but excuses, and generates 0 results. That's just brilliant, Mr. Rose.
Ms. Reese, are there any other citizen comments?
None at this time.
Thank you. We're going to move forward to our public. There is no public hearings, and the city manager has nothing on the consent agenda. We'll turn it over to the city manager's report. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, I am pleased to present this item to you. This presentation is intended to provide the council with the findings from the resident satisfaction survey that was recently completed. The survey is designed to gauge our residents' opinions on the many services we provide. The survey is statistically valid to plus or minus 3.9% at 95% level of confidence. We have tonight Robert Heacock with ETC Institute, who will be providing you with the findings. And certainly, I will leave that. Mr. Heacock, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council, City Manager Rose. It's a pleasure for me to be here. I am Robert Heacock, representing the ETC Institute. I think Mike's getting everything set up, and I'll start the presentation in just a second. So a little bit of background. Some of you may not be familiar with the ETC Institute. This is a map of surveys that we've conducted, areas we've conducted surveys over the last 13 years or so. We've actually surveyed more than 3 million people in 49 states during that time period. Our purpose is to help objectively assess citizen satisfaction with the delivery of city services, to compare the city's performance with residents in other parts of the country, and also to help determine priorities for your community. This is a little bit about the methodology. We go through the survey description, method of administration, and sample size. We had a goal of 600. We actually received 600. We met that goal, and as city manager indicated, plus or minus 3.9% in terms of the level of confidence. That's really good. Usually the standard for those surveys is plus or minus 5%, but the city has made the effort to drill down a little bit more. This is the location of the survey respondents throughout your community. We made an effort to make sure that the whole city was represented in a balanced way. We factored in other demographic areas or at issues to make sure that we were doing this correctly, and so that it can be replicated in the future. Bottom line up front is that the city has, the residents have a very positive perception of the city. Over 80% rated the overall quality of life in the city as excellent or good. And 78%, I believe that number is, rated the overall quality of services provided by the city as excellent or good. When we compare that to other communities, you can see there, the University City consistently outpaced not only national results, but regional results. When you look at overall city surveys. So 33 of 48, or 50% of the areas that were assessed in terms of the regional comparisons, University City ranked higher than those other communities. Overall priorities for improvement, the same as in 2 years ago, but you'll see, we're gonna show you how things have changed a little bit because of the city's efforts over the last 2 years. Priority areas for improvement include the overall maintenance of city streets and the overall enforcement of city codes and ordinances for buildings, housing, and overall property maintenance. Perceptions of the city. When we get into this, I want to say most of the perception slides that you're going to see show from left to right, very satisfied, somewhat satisfied, neutral, and then we combine the somewhat dissatisfied and very dissatisfied all together, almost to highlight that more significantly. And you'll see here the quality of life, the overall quality of services provided by the city ranked very high. You look at combining those two, and only 7% gave a below average or poor rating in terms of the overall quality of services provided by University City. That's very impressive. Now, one thing I want to point out as you look at this, I do a lot of clients all over the country, and what I hear initially is a desire to attack those red areas. And it's not to say that there isn't a benefit to try to make people more satisfied, but some folks, despite your efforts, it's like getting that last percentage or two of satisfaction out of something. It's really hard to do, and you're better off probably looking and having a conversation about the areas that are in gray, where they're neutral. Neutral means either they haven't experienced that sufficiently or that they don't have enough information. So we're going to talk about communication later and the citizen's reaction to different methods of communication. But I would suggest if you're trying to move the needle on some of those items, communication is a key. And that's something where you want to you keep in mind. There are also don't knows, and we've taken out the don't knows, but the folks who have taken the time to fill out a survey just to say, I'm neutral, doesn't really make sense to some degree. So I would recommend you look at that carefully. And again, all these different categories. Level of satisfaction with major category of services provide the city. Again, very positive. You can see at the bottom when you get to streets and enforcement issues, those are the bottom two. Those are actually not that they had huge numbers of negativity, but they are, we're gonna show you those issues that rise to the surface in terms of top priorities for the city moving forward. So this is a slide showing this latest survey, the overall quality of public safety services. So you can see throughout the community, people, the overall rating is either satisfied or very satisfied throughout the community. It doesn't mean that there aren't individual people in those areas that are dissatisfied with police services, but taken as a whole in those areas, you can see that level of satisfaction is very high. The two items that I mentioned were the priorities after 2019. You can see this is the overall maintenance of city streets of 2019 versus 2021. So you can actually see a few areas, three or four areas of the community back in 2019 that registered as dissatisfied for their feelings overall. So that was a consensus in the neighborhood. And you see very few of the areas were in blue or registering as satisfied. But that changed in just 2 years in 2021. You can see there are no longer any neighborhoods that overall had a dissatisfied rating. And you can see more areas are in the light blue. So that overall, it's an increase of 5.7% satisfaction in 2 years. Again, with overall enforcement of city codes and ordinances, you can see that as well. There were not neighborhoods in 2019 that registered as dissatisfied as a neighborhood, but you did see plenty of areas that were in that neutral category. You fast forward 2 years to 2021 and you see an over 8% increase. I believe it's an 8.2 increase in overall satisfaction with enforcement of codes and ordinances throughout the city in just 2 years. Feeling of safety in various situations. To be honest with you, I'm having trouble reading the monitor from this far, so I'm doing the best I can. But you can see that, the only area that really significantly popped here was walking after dark in the loop area. And we'll see later on, we have a slide that talks about adequacy of streetlights. So that might be something that you talk with your police department about, your staff about, to say, okay, we have a preponderance of people who are concerned about a certain area and the walkability at night. What about the adequacy of streetlights in that area or in the surrounding residential areas? What can we do to assess that to determine whether or not we can move the needle on those numbers? Now we'll get into the benchmarks, and you'll see here consistently, even though there are concerns in areas where your citizens have indicated they would like you to make additional investment and priorities, that the city's doing quite well when you compare it to other cities in what we call the plain states, generally the Midwest, and nationally. So you see here the University City ratings are in the dark blue color, the Plains region averages are in the yellow, and the national averages are in the pink. So even though the top two priorities jump out again as being maintenance of city streets and maintenance of code enforcement maintenance, those jump out as the top two. Compared again to the region and to nationally, University City is significantly higher level of satisfaction. This is just a different way of looking at a lot of the same information, but sometimes it's easier to kind of read it here, kind of a comparison. So you can see, for example, comparative strength visibility of police in neighborhoods and retail areas. Even though there's a number of folks who still want you to improve in that area, it's a comparative strength, comparative weakness, condition of sidewalks, adequacy of residential street lighting, and so on. Again, comparing to the Plains region average, you can see some of those items. Again, overall quality of services provided by the city is comparative strength, along with the image of the city, appearance of the city, where comparatively some of the weaknesses might be feeling of safety in the community, responsiveness of the police department enforcing local traffic laws, and efforts to prevent crime. Priorities for investment. This is what we call the important satisfaction analysis. What we've done is we've looked at the questions that we've asked, not only in terms of how satisfied are they, but how important is it to you to help guide those areas that would rank the highest. And again, you can see here in terms of what is very high, and then medium priority. Well, it doesn't mean that, and this is overall satisfaction with major city services. So it doesn't mean those high priority areas, the medium priorities aren't things you should talk about. It's just relatively speaking, those other two pop off the page a little bit more in terms of those thresholds. Again, this is looking at public safety services. And you can look at the city maintenance areas, public works services. And then we've looked at parks and recreation services. None of those ranked a very high priority, but you do have a couple of those as a high priority for parks and recreation services. Communication, we wanted to specifically talk about that. Again, I referenced that earlier in terms of how to focus our efforts. How do we really improve more people and encourage them to understand the issues and to be satisfied with the job that the city is doing. Part of that is better communication. This gives you a feel for the major types of communication of ways you've tried to reach out to the community. And clearly your Roars newsletter is at the top in terms of the level of people that are relying on that for their news about what's going on in the city. There are some people that are gravitating more towards the social media areas down below, but in large part, your citizens are saying they never get information about the city services from those sites, at least not right now. Doesn't mean you can't move it down the road if that's a goal, but this just gives you that snapshot in time of where things stand right now. The effectiveness of communication, a method keeping respondents informed about city services programs and projects. And then finally, which two of the city communication methods listed in question before that would you most prefer to you get the information about the city? And you can see the Roars newsletter there is, again, the top one. So in summary, residents have a very overall have a very positive perception of the city. You've seen a significant percent of the over 80% are satisfied with the overall quality of life in the city, and they're rated as excellent or good. Satisfaction with city services is higher in University City than other communities, almost across the board. And priorities for improvement remain overall maintenance of city streets and overall enforcement of city codes and ordinances, even though you have seen statistically significant improvement in those areas in just the last 2 years. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rose, and thank you, ETC Institute. Are there any questions? And I see Councilmember Clay has his mic. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smollison. Thank you for your presentation. I had a question about the breakdown of the respondents by ward. I didn't see it explicitly stated in here. I saw the scatter plot. But can you speak to the rough breakdown?
I don't have this. You would like the specific numbers of people that responded per area?
Yeah, by ward. We have three wards. I think you kind of alluded to that, but I'd be curious.
Yeah, we can certainly provide that. I can follow up with the city manager about that. I don't have that at my fingertips. But yes, we try to make sure for quality assurance that we are well representing not only geographically distribution, but in terms of the census, in terms of other demographic factors, ownership versus rental. We try to make sure that we're consistent with those census numbers and other sources of information that we use to get a good feel for where the city is, not only to make it accurate now, but in the future, if we are doing similar surveys, that we can replicate those surveys if we have that quality assurance.
Okay, yeah, I would love to see that information. I represent the third ward, so I'm most interested in that, but
Yeah, and we have some of that information has been provided already to the city, and I'm sure the city manager can direct you to that, and also can I'll be happy to reach out to him after this to see if there's anything else you all require. We'd be happy to provide it.
And the final thing, one more point, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, you mentioned that you had some suggestions related to the Loop in particular. Mm-hmm. Were those mentioned here, or those in a different communication?
No, what I indicated just was from what I was presenting tonight, you could see some of the interrelationship between some of the answers of the questions. So one of those was feeling of safety of walking at night. The other showed a desire for more streetlights. We might want to drill down with your staff to say, okay, does that suggest that if we add more streetlights in a certain area of community, that it's going to raise that? That's all. I'm suggesting that there's an interrelationship between some of these different questions that we've asked that might lead you to initiatives and where you might place your efforts to move the needle on those items in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. I have a question about the question that was asked relative to code enforcement, and
I'm having a little trouble hearing.
Yes,
sir. Thank you.
Wasn't close enough. Sorry. I have a question relative to the question asked in the survey about code enforcement, and I have read through, I think it was a nearly 200-page report. I don't recall the question Do you recall what the question was? Was it the satisfaction of code enforcement efforts or more broadly about code enforcement?
I don't have that in front of me at the moment. I'm sorry. I believe it was the first of what you're talking about.
Okay. Because my question on that, and I can speak for myself, and I might be able to speak for Councilmember McMahon, with the emails that we get, I think it would be, and I really do appreciate that we do this every 2 years now. I hope this continues. I would say it falls about 50-50 with the calls and emails that I get, and perhaps Steve as well, with people who are unhappy about the level of code enforcement versus the people who, in terms of it's not enough, versus the people who think that it's too much. And you can see it on social media. You can see it at times in these chambers. But I think moving forward, that would be an interesting question to maybe split into two pieces, because it really is it seems like half the people are think it's not enough sometimes, and half the people think it's too much.
It's a very good point, Councilmember, and one I've heard from other communities that we've worked with. And yes, your next time we do a survey, we probably would suggest trying to maybe add an additional question that, you know, could flesh that out a little bit more. But you're right. If it just says, are you satisfied or dissatisfied? Some people might say because you're doing too much,
right,
and some people think we're not doing enough. So I totally understand where you're coming from on that. And I think that we can certainly consider that the next time we go around. But would also point out that keep in mind, no matter what the topic area was, there's at least one person who's very dissatisfied about everything. And so, you know, we try to balance it the best we can. We try to understand what the meaning of the questions the best we can, and to clean that up in the future. I think it's a very good idea.
Thank you.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. I'm looking at your methodology and your sample size of 600 surveys and your scatter graph that shows the respondents throughout University City. Do you have a number or percentage breakdown on exactly were there 200 responses from each ward, or what do you have a percentage of what kind of what number of respondents were from each of the different wards?
The information I believe is in the report. I don't have that in front of me, but that's something we can provide, or I can follow up with the city manager again. I believe it's pretty close from what I recall, but I'd rather give you a specific number when we can. I know that was a sensitivity. The city manager wanted to make sure that we had a good distribution, you know, in all three wards. Whether it was exactly 200 in each, I can't tell you standing here, but that's something we can look up and relate back to the council, or your manager can. We can work with him.
Okay, Mr. Clay.
In the mayor's absence, I'm going to take another bite at the apple. So thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. This question is more for the city manager. What are the next steps, given you have this data for you and your team, as it relates to what you want to do and what you want to get from this?
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes, sir.
And Councilmember Clay. The two things will happen. First, we'll make sure that the information gets posted on our website. The larger report will be posted that includes a lot of the detailed information that relate to the questions that you've asked tonight. So we'll make sure that is available for the public to review. Secondly, the proposed FY 2023 annual operating budget and capital improvement program for 2023 and through 27 were developed with the information that you've received in mind. So you'll see heavy emphasis on street maintenance, for example, when you review the proposed budget, as well as a focus on strengthening code enforcement. So the purpose for the survey is so that you can get a very broad perspective on what residents think of the services that are provided by the city. It's often what you hear are those squeaky wheels that have concerns that we should be addressing as well. But I think it's important to hear from those individuals that may not be able to make it to a council meeting. They just want to go home, play with the kids, and go to work the next day. And the survey process enables them to still provide input into their government, into the operations. So I certainly will continue to recommend that we conduct these surveys in the future. Does that answer your question, Councilmember Clay?
It does, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rosen. Again, thank you, sir, for your presentation. I do appreciate that. And I guess if there will be no more questions, I think that ends this period of the agenda. So again, thank you.
Thank you very
much. Mr. Rose, I just wanted to make sure that with this presentation, this does not require an approval or anything from the council.
Mayor Pro Tem, that's correct.
All right, thank you, sir. Then we can move forward. All right. We have unfinished business and we have Bill 9457. Ms. Reese, can I have the second reading?
Bill 9457, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 1170 through 1194 Briscoe Place and 8612 through 8640 Olive Boulevard, associated with the Market at Olive Phase 2 development, from PA Public Activity, GC General Commercial, and HR High Density Residential to PD Planned Development Commercial District, PD-C.
Third reading, please.
Bill 9457, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 1170 through 1194 Briscoe Place and 8612 through 8640 Olive Boulevard, associated with the Market at Olive Phase 2 development, from PA Public Activity, GC General Commercial, and HR High Density Residential to PD Planned Development Commercial District, PD-C.
Thank you. Motion to approve. Councilmember McMahon, second. Councilmember Clay. Ms. Reese, will there be any discussion? And I want to make sure I don't miss that because I've missed that before. Any discussion? There be no discussion. Ms. Reese, could you call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson.
Aye. Okay, we can move forward to new business. We have a resolution 2022-4, preliminary development plan for Market at Olive Phase 2 development. May I get a motion to approve that resolution? Councilmember Klein, and a second by Councilmember McMahon. Any discussion? All those in favor of this resolution, please say aye. Opposed? Thank you. And we can move to, I'm sorry, the ayes have it. Thank you, sir. I'm new at this. Okay, and we can move forward to bill number 9464. Can I get someone to introduce this bill? Councilmember Cusick. And Ms. Reese?
Bill 9464, an ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after passage and repealing ordinance number 7170.
Thank you. And now we have Bill number 9465. May I get somebody to introduce that bill? Councilmember McGann. Ms. Reese?
Bill 9465, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 711 Kingsland Avenue.
Thank you. Okay, now we can move on to council reports and businesses. Any members or council members have any reports to give on their commissions? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. I'm proud to make the announcement that the Commission on Stormwater Issues has, we've recently mailed out survey questionnaires to, I believe, all residents. Is that correct, Mr. Rose? All residents?
That's correct, Councilmember Cusick.
Thank you, Ms. Rose. So every resident in University City should be receiving a stormwater and flood survey. I would encourage everyone to please complete the survey. There are several ways to do so and to complete it, and that will give us a very good idea of the breadth and depth of flooding and stormwater issues throughout University City. So those have already been mailed out, so we're encouraging everyone to please respond to it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Any other comments or reports? Looks like no comments or reports. All right, Ms. Reese, do we have any other citizen participation comments?
None at this time.
Thank you. And now we're at council comments. Are there any council comments for this evening? Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. I did want to remark on the fact that the Third Ward Housing and Revitalization Task Force has been constituted. While the actions tonight were largely perfunctory, we just appointed people. I don't want that to diminish the significance of this task force. This council, in endeavoring to bring the Costco and sequester $10 million for the purposes of serving the Third Ward, believed it important that those who were most impacted by the dollars coming in should have a voice as to how those dollars were used. So I'm very proud this evening that this committee has been impaneled, that we are moving forward. The composition of this task force is predominantly Third Ward, even though all council members had the opportunity to make selections. Many of them chose to cross wards and go into the Third Ward. So I think this is a significant moment for this community in its support of the Third Ward and its recognition of its ability to have a significant role in its destiny and the larger destiny of University City.
Any other comments? Okay, well, we're coming to my comments, and it's interesting that I get the last word at this meeting. So I want to do something different, and I want to introduce someone to you that's very important to me, and that's also my wife. But I want to say thank you all for attending the meeting. I do apologize for omissions and things that I may have missed. But again, thank you all, and I hope you all have a great evening. I also wanted to say post Happy Mother's Day to not only Councilmember Klein, but those that are hearing this meeting and are a part of this meeting tonight. So I wanted to get that out of the way, which leads me to what I want to do. And I hope you all can just give me just a minute, because what I want to do is introduce my mother, and who is at this meeting tonight. So it's significant in that this is the first meeting that I've ever run. So I wanted to also make that announcement and have her here, besides my wife and my sister, who's here tonight. But also, I wanted to let you all know that my mother is an author. She has written a book, and that book is called Unapologetically Me. And how that ties into this meeting tonight in University City is that my mother is going to be reading her book or excerpts of her book on June 11th at the Sutter Meyer House. So just wanted to make sure everyone knew. And I think that program is from 10 to 4 on June 11th. And my mother is the first author that's going to be reading at 10 o'clock. So one of the things that I wanted to do in honor of my mother and Mother's Day, but also it's her birthday on May 13th, this Friday. So I just wanted to honor her and dedicate this meeting to her. And I wanted to do something, one additional thing, and that is that I wanted to put into record something that she asked her family to do as part of her book. And that was to write something about her. So what I want to do is, not only do I realize that my words and my statement about my mother is going to live forever in her book, but I also want to read it tonight, and so that it will become public record for this city. And that's how I wanted to honor my mother for this meeting tonight. And I'll start by simply saying, reading it. It's really hard for me to pour out my feelings for my mother because it's something I just am not used to doing. I'll try because she asked. She is the person that named me Duane. My mother is my source of reason and calm. My mother didn't get honors and degrees until later, but has always been smart and resourceful. She knows how to talk to people and knows the right approach to a problem. My mother is my speechwriter if I get into a jam or rut, and my editor who corrects my mistakes. My mother is why I know now that a shirt looks better than a t-shirt. My mother is why I love vanilla ice cream, shortbread cookies, sweet potato pie, pound cake, dark meat chicken, grits with butter, and more things than I should say. What I'm telling you is that I knew she loved me. She would say it every once in a while, but I just always knew it. I always knew it. Just like I always knew she was with me, even though she wasn't there. Let me explain. I can vividly remember that my mother didn't attend a lot of the things that I did between sports and music, and I knew why. My mother was working 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day, taking care of her family. To this day, I have never been bothered about that. I have never felt neglected and ignored because I always knew she cared about me, supported me, and loved me. I knew that by the clothes I wore and how Vaseline made my face shine. I knew when she would allow me to play the drums in the house. That feeling of her being with me began in elementary school, when my mother would show up at school and catch me doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing, or didn't wear my sweater or at recess as I was told. I never understood how she always caught me. I do feel that I was not prepared for life like my friends were, and completely lost at college. I bring that up because I've never blamed my mother for it and understood later why that was. Finally, because of her love, honor, and reputation, I have worked to be a better person and regret a period in my life that didn't reflect well. So what does my mother mean to me? My mother simply means love. May I get a motion to adjourn this meeting? Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Cusick, may I get a second? Councilmember Hales, is there any discussion? Well, I will say, may I get a vote? All in favor of adjourning this meeting, can I get an aye? And the nays, ayes have it. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.